Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. I am delighted to welcome this week to Talk Nation Radio, Randy Saltzman, who goes by the name Salz, and he is, as most good people are, a resident of Charlottesville, Virginia. He is also a transportation writer and researcher and the author of Fatal Attraction, Curbing Our Love Affair with the Automobile Before It Kills Us. Salz, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Oh, well, thank you very much, David.
So here we are in an era in which we are cutting Social Security and Medicare and acting as if we're short on money everywhere, which we all know, of course, is not the case. The money is in the hands of billionaires and war profiteers and highway profiteers. We're spending an enormous amount of money on highways. And you've been looking at a particular highway boondoggle here in the Charlottesville, Virginia area. Tell us about this project.
Well, this project is called the Western Bypass of Charlottesville. And we need to put bypass in quotes simply because it conjures an image in the vast number of Americans that they will have free flow traffic around city congestion. In this particular situation, this will bypass 4.3 miles of US 29 in a 6.2 mile loop. It will actually take longer time to, as it is designed presently, to use the bypass than it will be to go on the old existing 29 north. And then, once
wait a minute. So it's a bypass that will actually slow cars down?
It will slow cars down. There's just a recent VDOT consultant who pointed this out. The southern terminus, the bottom end of it, so to speak, it'll now take 2 minutes and 47 seconds just to go through this one intersection. It's not a flyover. It's not a ramp like we generally perceive of it. They made it an intersection to make it sound cheap enough so that the taxpayers and what we have in Virginia called the Commonwealth Transportation Board would believe that it is a good deal to build this highway. However, if they go back to having a flyover, which will save that 2 minutes and 47 seconds, if they do that, it will create a cost of probably another $56 million, and it's already the highest priced project in Virginia transportation history per mile basis.
And a flyover for non-highway engineers, what's a flyover?
It's that ramp where you exit to the right and then make a big curve over the top of the highway that you would have stayed on if you hadn't exited to the right, and you fly over the top of where you would have been if you'd have stayed straight, and then come down on the other side of the highway.
And so what, if any, are the benefits of throwing money at a project like this? Does it help traffic on the existing road?
No. In this particular case, it doesn't. That is the perception that most people have when they hear a bypass. The Virginia Department of Transportation has been incredibly clear over the years that building this bypass will do nothing for local congestion. It might do something for the 10% of cars who travel through and don't stop, but it will do nothing for local congestion. It starts off as an F level of service, which is the lowest level, which is the transportation terminology, meaning that it's carrying more cars than it's designed for. And if they build the bypass, if we spend the $300 million and build it, it'll still be an F level of service at each of the intersections. There is one that'll go from an F to a D, but all the rest of them will stay an F on the existing 29 North. There is no real benefit. There's only political benefits for the McDonnell administration, and that is caused by the fact that what we call downstate, which is southwest of Charlottesville, towns like Lynchburg and Danville, are very concerned about high unemployment. And the chamber down there, the money people in that part of the state, have convinced people that if they could only get through Charlottesville faster, that manufacturers would build large manufacturing plants downstate and deal with the unemployment issue. However, the data shows that you have to be an incredibly stupid company to do that. And the reason being is that even if they return the flyovers, even if everything works out to the best And there is a time savings. VDOT, the Virginia Department of Transportation, claims that time savings would be 66 seconds. It's a 10-hour drive from Lynchburg to New York City. Now, is any company going to site a manufacturing plant downstate for that? No. But that's what it shows. There are other research that puts the time savings at 51 seconds. So to kind of look at it in terms of the number of cars, the 10% of vehicles, cars and trucks going through, or the dollars per second saved, we're looking at $4.7 million per second saved, or $162,000 per car passing through on a daily basis. It's absolutely fiscally insane, the Taxpayers for Common Sense, which is, pretty much a conservative organization. They say very clearly it's one of the 8 worst transportation projects in the nation. A very libertarian Virginia business editor puts it like this, that you can spend $300 million and you'll get $8 million in public benefits, and no company on the planet, not even the former Soviet Union companies, would spend that money to get $8 million in benefits. And then from the flip side of it, it does horrible things that the left should be worried about. For example, all of the water supply in our area runs through the pathway of this particular highway. And all of the streams are already in the impaired category. The sediment runoff from construction and the possibility of, trucker spills or anything like that creates massive pollution issues. The EPA and the Corps of Engineers are both saying, you ought to look at that a lot harder. Plus, we have massive concerns about the health for children. Since 2009, there have been at least 14 studies in this country and a ton in other countries which link automobile, specifically truck exhaust, to children's autism. Yes, autism, asthma, and reduced lung capacity. In fact, the EPA today suggests that if you have a school within a half mile of a major highway, you should begin to study to see what you're doing to children's lungs. This highway, the Western Bypass of Charlottesville, if it's built, will go within a quarter mile of 6 area schools. It really doesn't bypass in any context that we think of, but the word has the connotation. And then finally, it will probably induce more traffic into our area. Induced traffic is hard for most people to understand, but basically, when you build a highway, you do not decrease congestion. Generally speaking, and 90% of the time, that generally, you create more traffic than you have solved. You bring drivers from other areas. In this particular case, if VDOT is correct and downstate, it will cause manufacturing jobs to grow. Well, those trucks will now be dumped into the 2 fastest growing neighborhoods in our community, Hollymead and Forest Lakes. But it will also bring trucks off of I-81, the NAFTA route, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Most of the trucks from Texas/Mexico that are bound for New York and Boston and Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, the major population centers of the Northeast, drive on I-81. In fact, the Virginia Department of Transportation says that a third of the traffic on I-81 are 18-wheelers. It was designed, I-81 was designed in the late 1960s, early 1970s, to carry 22,000 vehicles a day. It is carrying 74,000 vehicles a day. Every day on I-81, there is traffic stopped. And those truckers are the first people who will take advantage of any other option because, after all, their job is knowing the fastest route and every single option to it based on everything. That's their mission in life. So they will start cutting over as far south as 460, which is down from Roanoke to Petersburg. They will cut over on I-64, which comes straight into Charlottesville, to try to get around the traffic tie-ups which happen daily on I-81. And all of that traffic will show up in Hollymead and Forest Lakes, just north of Charlottesville, Virginia.
I saw something of a perhaps contradictory claim in opposition to this Western Bypass that, in fact, some trucking companies were considering the design too unsafe to use, that, in fact, as designed, the bypass highway would be incredibly dangerous, that, in fact, we may be seeing accidents and deaths and pedestrians hit predictably and predicted if the highway is built. Is that no longer the case due to changes in the design?
You're absolutely correct. The design as it exists today, the trucking industry says, oh my God, that is unsafe. It's too tight a turn. It requires 18-wheelers to climb an 11.4% grade, which, just to give you some context of that, that 11.4% grade is twice as high as the highest grade in the interstate highway system. It is twice as high as the grade in the famed Going to the Sun Highway in Glacier Mountain. There are 35 mountain highway passes in Colorado. Only one is over 10%. So we're going to have this massive grade that truckers will come down from a 60-mile-per-hour speed and not be able to stop. That's the unsafe part of it, and that they will strain immensely to go up. Now, however, that is also what the McDonald administration has done to bait and switch taxpayers. To get taxpayers to think it's cheap enough to build this highway at this particular moment, as you pointed out at the beginning of your show, at a moment when the sequester is going on, when everybody in government is desperate for money, whether or not it's real or not, okay, but that's the emotion right now. At this particular moment, they want taxpayers to think it's reasonably cheap. To fix that and return it to the standard flyovers, which we think of when we think of going from a major highway onto a bypass, to fix that, it will cost, the estimates range from $25 million to $56 million. The proponents of the highway even claim the $56 million. So what happens at that moment, they can fix it and make it so that truckers can indeed use it and indeed use it safely, but it costs an immense amount more money. So they baited us with the cheap southern terminus, and now they're going to build the, are most likely going to build the more expensive one because they've already turned the dirt. It's kind of the Teddy Roosevelt effect. Once you get it going, it's hard to return the white fleet from China, you know, once you've already started the project. And so
Afghanistan, for that matter.
That's so, an excellent example. Once you're engaged in something in American political world, it is very difficult to say, oh, this is wrong, we've got to get out of it. And it happens in not just in military excursions. It happens in politics. It happens in government of all levels, local. And it's, from my experience, it happens a lot in transportation. So the McDonald administration has fast-tracked this, i.e. they're doing everything possible to turn the first spade of dirt before Governor McDonald is out of office. Every prior administration for Governor McDonald has said this is such a horrible waste of taxpayer dollars, we're not going to build it.
We are speaking with Randy Salzman in Charlottesville, Virginia, about a proposed highway bypass around Charlottesville. A little historical context, I think, is interesting. This incredible downgrade would land these trucks at high speed into Thomas Jefferson's University of Virginia, while I understand the highway around the city would plow through an area currently occupied by a graveyard containing the remains of descendants of Sally Hemings, the woman now believed to have been enslaved by and in the bed of Thomas Jefferson. Is there not a factor to be considered here in terms of destruction of cultural heritage and lifestyle and countryside and sprawl every time we add a new highway?
Oh, definitely. In the particular case of the cemeteries, The cemetery that you're referring to is called the Salmon Cemetery, and the most important person in it is not the sister of Sally Hemings. It's not Sally Hemings' family, it's her sister's family. It is their son, the sister's son, Dr. Ferguson, who is the very first black physician in the entire area and perhaps in the state. The house that was connected, because this was a family cemetery, the house was torn down kind of mysteriously 2 years ago when this highway project was was revived, and nobody knows exactly who it was, but somebody official sounding came and told the landowner that they had to tear down the house. The whole area is called Cartersburg and Hydraulic Mills. And in the Freedman era, i.e. just immediately after the Civil War, this was a very, very thriving black community, or primarily black. The mill itself, Hydraulic Mills, was on the Ravanna River, was the first industrial post-Civil War product. General Custer had burned the previous mill during the Civil War, and a black miller and a white money person had built this mill, and then this community had built up around it. That was Hydraulic Mills. They moved the first black school in Albemarle County, and I can't think of the name of it right now, also shows up right here in the path of the Western Bypass. In the 1960s or 70s, they dammed the Ravanna River, and part of that is flooded, but there is still a ton of very historic pieces of property. There are at least three black cemeteries that are in the route of this highway. The Salmons is the most interesting because it's on the county plat. Anybody doing any research at all could have seen it. And the tombstones, because the family was very prominent for the time period, they can only be seen as tombstones. You can't stumble across one and not read George Ferguson, for example. But the other two cemeteries are much more, they're sketchier. They're not so sure that how large they are, how many people are in them. One of them, however, had tombstones as late as 2009, and then suddenly those tombstones disappeared. That's the cultural side of it. The end of the highway, the southern terminus that you mentioned coming into Mr. Jefferson's University, comes into what they call the North Grounds. Mr. Jefferson's University does not have campuses. It has grounds and North Grounds. And the North Grounds is the Darden Business School, which is one of the nation's typically in the top 10, and the law school, which is usually in the top 5, generally, depending on who's doing the evaluation.
And so, the U.S. Army's law school right next to it.
And the JAG school, right, is here too as well. I forgot about that. Thank you. And it will come down as the design exists today, the bait would come down an 11.4% grade onto Leonard Sandbridge Road. What the contractor has done, Skanska, and I would suggest he did it with the help of the administration, is instead of starting the official bypass south of U.S. 250, which is the highway that is just north of the Darden Business School and just north of the law school, instead of starting it there, which every single previous discussion of this highway, it always starts basically on the Darden Business School campus south of U.S. 250. Instead of starting it there, they start the official bypass on the north side, i.e., so it's no longer on Mr. Jefferson's University in any way, shape, or form. All it will be is a semantic change. Drivers, be they truckers or not, will not be able to tell when they go from the official bypass, which by Virginia law could only be a 6% grade, and when they get on the local road, Leonard Sandbridge Road, which can be up to a 15% grade. So by starting it on the north side, what they have successfully done is make it sound cheaper, okay? But more importantly, allow those trucks to come down an 11.4% grade. And about 100 yards south of where they will come down is the student crosswalk, where students walk from the largest residential community for students to the Darden Business School on a, you know, minutely basis. And those trucks will be coming down that hill to a stoplight at 60 miles per hour. And what do we all do when we see a yellow light in front of us? We speed up. We don't slow down. And they won't be able to slow down because it's a massive grade.
So here's my question, if you could answer as concisely as you can. We've listed dozens of drawbacks, not a single advantage, all sorts of maneuverings and pretenses to make this thing happen. Who is driving it? What's motivating it? You've referred to Governor McDonald's administration, a man known around the country primarily for assaults on women's rights. Who is influencing him, funding his campaigns? What is driving this? And if the money is largely federal, if 2/3 or so of the money is going to come from the federal government, what is driving that policy that dumps that money from Washington into projects like this one?
there's a whole lot of indications that neither the Federal Highway Administration nor the Virginia Department of Transportation actually want to build this highway. That they realize very quickly that it's political. VDOT has said on many occasions in many different ways that this highway does nothing for local congestion, that it is not cost effective, and that it is, they've all but said it's a boondoggle. The reason for building it is that political issue downstate. There is specifically one senator who's the head of the Virginia Legislature Senate Transportation Committee who's absolutely convinced it'll create jobs in his community, which it's hard to imagine that it would actually happen. You know, 66 seconds in a 10-hour drive to New York. I can't imagine that any company would think that was in the top 10, but probably not in the top 100 reasons for siting a plant somewhere.
Is there financial influence, or is this an honest misconception by a senator who has too much power?
I would say the second there, that it's an honest misconception, but I don't really know. I haven't done that kind of political research. The local proponents, however, have... The local proponents of the highway, in which there are actually very few, they think it will help their businesses. And this is kind of difficult to explain. When Virginia Department of Transportation originally began looking at dealing with congestion on 29 North, they sequenced a whole ton of projects. These are the things that we can do to address congestion. At the beginning of the sequence was an overpass on 29 North at Rio Road. At the very end of the sequence was, if all else fails, let's build a bypass. The very first one goes by a car dealer, and the car dealer believes that if it was a bypass in front of his store, he would lose drop-in traffic. Now, there's no data to support that, but I guess it's a reasonable belief if you're worried about your business. That car dealer then ran for county commission with a program to stop the sequencing of the 29 North projects, which is generically those 29 North projects are called Places 29, to stop the sequences. He was defeated by a write-in candidate, which is always interesting when anybody gets defeated by a write-in candidate. Then he was a heavy donor and got himself put on the Commonwealth Transportation Board. And his accomplishment on the Commonwealth Transportation Board...
A heavy donor to whom?
To the Republican Party in this particular case. His actions on the Commonwealth Transportation Board, and there may have been more, but the only one I found out, is to get that sequencing removed. And it was a guaranteed to what they call the three-party agreement. It was guaranteed to University of Virginia, to the city of Charlottesville, and the county of Albemarle that this is the way we would deal with it. This is the sequence. Okay, now at the same time, he starts a small business group called the North Charlottesville Business Alliance. And the North Charlottesville Business Alliance seems to make sense. It's a group of businessmen to get together to protect the interest. And they're all on this little stretch of 29 North. They become convinced that if there is an overpass at Rio Road, that they will lose drop-in traffic. And people will no longer look at 29 North as the main street of Albemarle County, and so therefore it'll hurt their business. That thinking over 20 years gradually expands to the mainstream Chamber of Commerce. And also the businessmen just, A, naturally hear the semantic bypass, and B, have been told repeatedly that it's going to hurt business, going to hurt business. The reality is that if this is built, it will tie up about 50% of all of the dollars coming to the entire transportation district, the part of the Commonwealth Transportation. It'll tie up half the dollars for now in the year 2050. So there is not going to be any money to build any other projects. No transit, no other highways, no bridges in Charlottesville or Albemarle County that have any reasonable value to actually deal with congestion. And this is what the car dealer is very proud of done. He's said very clearly that he's tied up the money and they can't build anything else because we're going to use it all on the bypass. So those are the two reasons, trying to stop the building of the overpass at Rio Road, and there's actually two other overpasses, one at Hydraulic and one at Greenbrier, but the primary one is the one at Rio Road, to stop that building. If we tie up the money, they'll never be able to build it. And secondly, if we can allegedly create jobs downstate. when anybody takes the time to do any research, which is what I do, you realize very clearly this is an incredible boondoggle, an immense waste of money. Amongst the groups opposed to this are not just the Virginia Business Editor, former Virginia Business Editor, not just Taxpayers for Common Sense, but the Sierra Club, the Piedmont Environmental Council, the NAACP, of course, which is worried about the black cemeteries. There's a group of professors at the Darden Business School, the former law school dean. You know, I mean, it's just nobody who spends any time studying it thinks this is a smart use of taxpayer dollars. It does not deal with congestion and creates immense problems. The PTOs, the parent teacher organizations of the schools, there are six schools now. At a moment, again, when the Environmental Protection Agency is saying, hey, you know, we ought to be checking what we're doing to kids' lungs within a half mile. We're thinking about putting a highway, a major highway, within a quarter mile of six schools. The latest assessment, the public process taking place, according to the Virginia Department of Transportation, there were 3,250 comments on the bypass. And 3,195 of them, and the numbers are off slightly, but 3,195 of them were opposed to it, are saying we need more real information. The problem is that the politicians at the state level and some local level are not listening to their own potential voters. It's amazing, because this whole concept is that people everywhere hear bypass and, oh, we go faster, it helps us. It actually doesn't do that, but that's what people think. And the idea of create jobs. Well, this is going to create some jobs in construction, but we'll create none after that.
Saltz, in the 60 seconds we have left, what can people do who want to press back against a project like this one in Charlottesville or similar projects elsewhere, or the general pattern of the federal government dumping tens of billions of dollars into projects like these around the country?
In this particular case, you write Irene Rico at the Federal Highway, federalhighways.gov, and you carbon copy the local senators, which is Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, and the leaders of the state government. You do the same thing with any other project. In Minnesota, there's one very similar to this. In Birmingham, Alabama, they're trying to build yet another loop, which doesn't do anything for transportation. And in Virginia, we're also trying to build a toll road paralleling an underutilized four-lane separated highway as well. Government does this for a lot of reasons. And one of them is it gets on a path. It gets started. And once we Americans get on a path, we have a very difficult time getting off that path. And our path for the last two generations has been drive more all of the time. Since 1970, i.e. since the first oil embargoes, American car mileage has increased per day, has increased four times the population growth. It's not new people coming into town. It's people driving more places more times and more accepting that it's the only way you get around. Meanwhile, we've been cutting transit. We have a green president at this particular moment who has actually been a disaster in terms of transportation environmentalism. He's created more driving, the cash for clunkers, destroyed 690,000 cars. They didn't just junk them. They destroyed the cars. They poured an epoxy in the engine the minute you got it. For what? For less than a single mile per hour gain, that's according to the University of Michigan, less than a single mile per hour gain in fuel efficiency.
If you can find something he hasn't been a disaster in, we'll have a show on that topic in the future. We've been speaking with Randy Saltzman, a resident of Charlottesville, Virginia, as all good people are, and we need to work to change these patterns. Pick up a copy of Salt's book, Fatal Attraction, Curbing Our Love Affair with the Automobile Before It Kills Us. Saltz, thanks for being on Talk Nation Radio. This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Until next time.